Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, I'll tell you what, I can get used to this. These on-location podcasts. So we are at High Point Golf Club in Montague, New Jersey right now. We just finished our round. Actually, this was a fun one because we were testing out a product while we were out there.
Yes.
The Rapsodo.
Mobile launch monitor,
which we're going to talk about in a second because we're also going to be giving one away. So I'm excited for that. And we'll talk about how you guys can get involved with that. But I've been having a lot of fun with this. You know, after our round, we find a place like this, a quiet spot to sit down, which I don't think there could be much better spot. Look at this.
No.
I mean, no,
this is, might be our best, you know, I think other than King's Barns.
King's Barns is still
but
the
this
venue
is right.
of
I
choice.
Cheers to that, by the way, because we are on a beautiful location here.
Yeah,
But absolutely right. Like you said, I can get used to this. I think we need to do more of them.
Yeah, so I've been having fun with this. So what we've been trying to do lately is when we are out here and play, we sit down afterwards, chat about the round, and just kind of talk about some of the things we learned, talk about some of the other stuff that we've got going on. So we've got a lot to chat about. I want to talk about this round. I want to talk about the Rapsodo because I think it is evidence of what is to come when it comes to golf tech. I think we've seen like a huge leap in technology across the board in the golf space, which we're going to see a lot more of when we head down to the PGA show in January, which is going to come up even quicker than you think.
Yeah, it really is.
Or it's September already. Before we do, as always, want to thank our sponsor. Big thanks to Titleist, whether it's the tour level shaping and feel of the T100 or the powerful playable distance of the T200, which I'm very excited to test out as well, or the maximum speed and forgiveness of the T300, which hint, hint, I think we're going to end up with. If it's anything like the AP3s, I think the T300s, which by the way, we have our fitting schedule for the first week in October.
That is right.
Very exciting. But the T-Series is a power-packed lineup of performance. And like I said, can't wait to get them in our own hands. But all that innovation goes in only for one reason, to help Titleist players put lower numbers on the scorecard. That's what we're all after. Like I said, Mike, we scheduled ours. It's actually on October 4th.
Yeah, that's
we're
coming up.
Back with Kevin Sprecher, who really, you know, just tremendous. He knows exactly what he's doing. You guys have heard him here on the podcast before. Down at Sleepy Hollow, we're going to get fit for the T-Series irons. We're going to talk about them more here. We may even be able to bring somebody from Titleist on the show with get a little bit of their own insight on it. I can't wait. You guys shouldn't either. Visit Titleist.com to learn more about the T-Series irons.
Yeah, and thank you to ShotScope. The guys, the ShotScope V2, here it is right here on my wrist. It's the world's smartest golf watch. As you know, we wear them every round, and you can see them in every one of our videos for the most part. We love having them out on the course. I mean, there's 40,000 courses loaded on this thing. Get this, hundreds of stats. They measure everything out there while you're out there. Every time you strike a ball, the data is being recorded. It's eye-opening. It really is when you see your data after the round. Yep. I mean, there was a couple of GIRs today, and that proximity, that one I stuffed, you know, on 14, I think it was. I mean, the device is remarkable. You need to try it for yourself. All the data of your golf game is at your fingertips. Join the revolution. Get yourself a ShotScope V2. It's $159 with our code. Just visit ShotScope.com/Golficity.
Absolutely unbeatable price.
It really is. And lastly, just want to thank FootJoy, the number one outerwear brand in golf. They ensure that you make everyday playable with rain jackets for all weather conditions. New to the FJ Performance outerwear lineup this year is the all-new DryJoy Select LS, which is the lightest and most waterproof garment FJ has ever produced, setting a new standard in rainwear. Frank, that got us through the old course.
It did.
You know, when we had that downpour. So amazingly, it's actually lighter than a golf shirt. So check it out. You're fully waterproof with a light shirt. You could shop now at footjoy.com/MEDP.
And today we had barely a cloud in the sky.
Today was gorgeous.
But no matter what, I never take chances, especially it's still summer. It may be September, but it's still summer.
Still summer.
And you never know, get that one thunderstorm rolling through. I've always got my dry joys in the back. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. As I have a spider crawling over me. Yo, dude, get out of here. Yeah. Come on.
You got
come
bees,
on,
spiders.
It's bees, spiders. We're outdoors, man.
Well, the bees want the beer, I think.
But it's always good to get a little a beer after the round.
It is.
So let's talk about today. So this was my first time playing High Point. You have played here before.
I did two outings here.
And I tell you what, it is one of those courses that course knowledge is key.
A lot of layups and dog legs.
Yes, tons of them. Couple of local guys we ran to when we were out there, and they were saying the same thing. Be like, these par fours are difficult to par because it's two good shots. You've got to have your distance right to the layup, and then you've got to have, because it's these incredible dog legs left and right. Mm-hmm. Lay it up. If you go too far, you're in the woods. You push it through the fairway.
Right.
So you've got to have your distance right, and then you've got to get another nice shot to the green. But I like a challenge. And when we especially have blind shots like that, we've learned our lesson, and we'll drive up a little bit, take a look at it, see what's up there, see what hazards are in the way, that type of stuff. So we did quite a bit of that today.
But you know what I learned from it, actually? I hit a lot more 6 and 7 irons off the tee. I had to. We were forced to.
Had to, yeah.
And they're putting a lot of them right in the middle and leaving me with, you know, these 130 shots in.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to play more of my game like that. I mean, the only time I really got in trouble is when I tried to stretch a driver. I forgot what hole. It was the first hole. You and I should not have hit driver. Mm-hmm. You used to talk about course knowledge. Right. You know,
we went across the road.
Yeah. You'll see this thing in the video. We went across the
road. Luckily, it's still in play. The way this particular course winds its way through is a residential area. So you'll see a couple of different cul-de-sacs. The way it works its way around, there's quite a few ponds, lakes, things like that here. So in this case, we think you push it over the road, you're out of play. But in this case, we had just pushed it onto, what was that?
It was the 17th fairway.
So you're just on another hole and you can survive it and work your way back.
Right.
But it does show you, and I think a little bit of course knowledge goes a long way on a course like this.
Yeah, definitely.
But I've been struggling with my game. My game has not been on. But that's just the last couple of rounds. It's funny. After our last round, a lot of people had messaged me. I had put out a tweet saying that didn't play well today, but you got to shake it off and you got to move on. You got to learn from it. So people were messaging me saying, what do I do? What's the tips for getting through a bad round? And I always said, just focus on what was good. And I'm trying not to do too many things because I think you can confuse the mind by going after two different things. Pick one good thing, one bad thing. The good thing is something there to keep your confidence level up. The bad thing is something to work on.
I like
for
that.
For me, the good thing was the putting. I've been putting in the work. Yeah, I've been really working on the stroke, trying to have a more consistent stroke and working with the putt out at night and putting in the house. Unfortunately, my short game everywhere else has not been good, and I have not had the time to commit to it.
Yeah, we saw that for sure. I mean, you got that quick short game lesson from Andy Proudman from me and my golf when we were in England. That kind of helped you for the next couple months.
And that's dating back to May. Look, that's the thing. It's just like anything. Like if you play other sports, baseball, whatever, you know that there's slumps. It happens.
Of course.
That's the only thing about being real with yourself. It was only 2 months ago that I was playing my best golf. That's I knocked on the door, missed putts twice in a row for 79s. I shot 280s at Crystal Springs.
Yep.
That's great for me, for my handicap. That's where I should be. But now I'm coming back and I'm shooting high 80s, low 90s, even creeping up into the mid 90s, which is not where I should be at all. But I'm not going to get discouraged by it. I know that I need to put in the work, but also I think an important part of playing this game and progressing as you go is just being real with yourself. Sometimes we set our expectations too high. We think that we should be better than we're at where we are right now, but then you realize, what are you doing to get there? Are you really, like, take a real hard look. Are you really putting in the work? If you can answer the question and say, yes, I am putting in the work, then it takes I think the next step is to take a hard look at the type of work you're putting in.
Right.
Are you doing focused practice? What type of practice? Are you practicing the things you're not good at? Or are you just going out there and hitting the shots and the shot types that you are already good at, maybe to build confidence? But is that helping your overall game? The shots that you practice should be similar to the shots that you'll see on the golf course that you're struggling with. And in my case, it's around the greens. I am not, my short game is not on right now, but I'm being real with myself. I haven't had a lot of time to get down to the short game tracks and short game practice areas and really grind it out. I know if I can put in a couple sessions, I'll be able to get it back. The evidence is the putting.
That's it.
I was struggling with my putting. I put a couple grind sessions in and I'm putting better. So I know that I can do it. It's a function of the time. So I think you have to be real with yourself and say, what can I do? Can I get out there? Can I practice? And if I'm not, maybe cut myself a little slack.
Yeah, and just from what I noticed watching you play today, you have put yourself in a lot of positions to score. I mean, I'm thinking about many times where you were staring down a large green with like 100 to 120 in, and you've missed a bunch of those greens.
I missed them. So and then my chipping wasn't on, so then all of a sudden it was like one bad thing to the next.
Yeah, so you know, you've actually put chipping back into play from not hitting those greens.
Correct.
So
correct.
I think you've honestly left about 5 or 6 strokes easily out there today. With some poor chipping. But again, like you said, things you can work with, things you could do in the backyard. You don't need to have a facility at your house. You could do short game chips and things like
that. So it's a matter of, just like I said, putting the time in and being real with yourself. Are you working on those things? And like I said, if you feel even more frustrated that you feel like you are working on them, that's when you got to look at it a little bit tighter and say, how am I doing it? How am I practicing it? And any good coach that we've worked with, I've noticed one thing. They push you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of practice that people end up doing is like this autopilot practice. Chipping is just like just chipping the same chip over and over. That going back to your example, when I worked with Andy, it was like after two chips, he stopped me. He goes, okay, now go for that pin. Now, you know, further pin,
yep.
Downhill,
yeah.
Uphill. And he would just constantly make me work.
Yep.
And if the harder you push yourself in practice, the kind of easier it's going to become in the game. It's no different than any other type of training. Think about if you're playing football, the harder you push yourself in the gym and the weightlifting, the stuff you put in there, it becomes on the core and out on the playing field, it's going to be a little bit easier. So I think that's the thing that I've learned a lot from this experience.
Yeah, and I mentioned this to you on the course. I mean, I just took, for example, Sunday, I went in the backyard and I hit a bunch of chips, and I just kept moving back 5 feet. I just kept going back and making it longer and longer and longer just to get the feel. That's really what it was for.
That green you put in your backyard is one of the best investments, because I've seen you be deadly around the greens.
Yeah, today, remember I put that par three, I put the ball in the woods, and I ended up hitting it to about a gimme. You gave it to me. So I scrambled for par from like inside a tree-lined woods on a par three. Again, because I had
the feel. We didn't even think you were going to find the ball.
I wasn't even thinking, I thought it was going to be a five or six. I ended up getting a three.
But it just shows to stick with it. Because if you went and you took that shot by shot, and you look at both of our shots, it was 185, I think, yard, par three, over water, tricky par three, downhill. You push yours right. It's a small target. It goes into like this wooded area. I hit mine pin high just off the green. I mean, a foot off the green in the rough. Yeah. I was probably eight feet to 10 feet from the pin. Right now, I'm there in one. You're in the woods in one. You come out of there with a par. I bogey it.
Yeah.
And what does that show you? So it shows you that your recovery shot was such an unbelievable shot. You put it within a gimme. I gave you that thing.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Now, me, I had a slippery downhill chip. I tried to chip it. It just caught there. There's a lot of two tiered greens here.
Yeah.
Lots. Mm-hmm. And there was one that's remarkable. The two tier difference was about 6 feet.
Yep.
If you can believe it. And we've got some of that on video. So we'll share that somewhere on the social so you guys can see it. But I left my chip a little long. It just caught that tier and it rolled down 20, 30 feet away. Two putt coming back. There's my four. So it just shows you, A, even if you have a bad shot, hang in there, because you still end up with a better score because you hung in with it.
Right.
And B, don't take anything for granted. I think in a certain way, it was a tough chip, but I think if I was really honest with myself, I think I might have phoned it in a little bit too much and didn't give it the focus that it needed because I was so close.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably why. It was a tough chip shot. I don't even think you even paid attention to the fact that that green sloped down, did you?
I did a little bit. I knew that I had to land it short.
Okay.
I always struggle with that too. If that's something that I know I need to go back and practice, when you have these short-sided chip shots downhill where you realize you're concerned that you're going to come up too short and it's not going to quite make it onto the green, you know what I mean? Then you're going to be faced with another chip shot.
Right.
But you know if you carry it too far, it's just going to never stop. And that's what that did. Mm-hmm. So it shows me, again, it's a good part of my short game that I have to work on, of that chipping, you know, and just that the feel of the different distances.
Right.
Speaking of practice, though, one little fun little device we had out there with today, and this is not, you know, it's not a sponsored thing or anything like that. What I will say is they did send us a couple of devices to try, but the Rapsodo.
Yeah.
Personal, you know, launch monitor. How cool was this thing?
This thing was cool. I mean, there's very fortunate. We get a lot of great things sent to the offices to test out, try, and to bring to you guys.
And that's one thing. Like we said, it's still our motto. If we get something, you get something. So we said, if you guys are going to send us one, you send two.
Send two.
And so, they were kind enough to do it. So thank you to the whole Rapsodo team for doing that, because we said, we'll use one while we're out here and we're going to give one away.
For sure. And we're going to put a huge smile on one lucky winner's face, because I thought, you know, mobile launch monitor, I never had one. I've been on TrackMans with coaches, things like that, and those are those big devices. But one of the small ones, I mean, honestly, this thing is the size of the phone. It fits in a little zipper pouch that's equivalent to a rangefinder pouch, right, on the side of the bag.
The setup is incredibly quick.
Setup is legitimately like 11 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I just pop it on. It connects automatically because it's connected before. I put my phone on it, and we're ready to go.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about this is that it's instant feedback for, of course, distance of the shot. Pretty accurate, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Really accurate.
We found it to be very accurate. In fact, we use it on the range, and I'm talking within a couple yards. And a couple of people had just today had DM'd me and said, I'm thinking about it. How accurate is it? So that tells me that's a big question that's out there. I found it to be incredibly accurate. Now, understand, this thing retails for $499, which is incredible when you think about the fact that a TrackMan is $20,000, Foresight which is the other big,
another five-figure device.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about anywhere from $14,000 to, I think, $18,000, maybe even upwards of that, depending on how many features. Is it going to be as accurate as those? Let's be real. No. I mean, Foresight is using incredible four-camera technology. Trackman has the highest level of Doppler technology. But when I would say pretty darn close, you know, I mean, Trackman's going to give you everything. It's going to give you that, and so is Foresight. You're going to get the spin. You're going to find out everything. What does Respoto give you?
So they give you the distance of the shot. They'll give you ball speed, and they'll give you
launch angle.
They'll give you a launch angle, but right. In so the app, they give you a little bit more, I believe.
Yes, and the cool thing is you can set up a practice session with this thing and just run it. It's very similar to, like, if you've ever been at Top Golf, where when you want another ball, you just kind of wave your club in front of the sensor. This is a similar thing. You set it up behind you, about 8 feet behind you. You wave your club in front of it to tell you you're ready for another shot, and you can just hit. There's no real waiting. So what stats does it show you there?
So here's just one we did out there for fun. We both took a 260-yard drive. We each about the same. Ball speed for shot number two was 143, and club speed was 102. And then your shot, you had a 1.4 smash factor, and your ball went straight. My shot, I could tell it was mine only because of the ball speed, Frank, because I know my speeds, you know, from being on Trackman's.
Yeah.
So I was the same yardage, believe it or not. My ball speed, yours was 143, mine was 166. Mm-hmm. My club speed over your 102 was 117. I had the same smash at 1.4, and I had a fade. So that's where I lost my yardage. Yeah. That's where that difference is. But on the right side, the launch angle.
You get launch angle and launch LD, direction.
Launch direction. So those are the stats you get.
So it's really cool. It'll overlay dispersion. You can see. So you're not going to get 100 different stats like you would with a Trackman, but you're also not spending $20,000. So that's what I liked about it. And what I like, again, just I think that what they did is evidence of what's to come. I've said this on a podcast quite a while back. I said, it's just good for us as consumers, and you're going to start to see the stuff that only the pros had access to before. We talked about fittings, things like that.
Right.
It's becoming stuff that's accessible to everyone. And here's where we're seeing launch monitors are becoming more accessible to everyone. Yep. So where I would love to see, and maybe we're kind of new with the device too, where I would love to see, and maybe there's some stuff in there that we haven't dug into yet, where I would love to see things like spin.
Yep.
You know, we talked about recently we did where we took a look at our wedges and see if worn grooves were losing a little bit of spin. And we told you guys, try it. Put your wedges to the test. Here's where I'd like to see it taking those spin numbers, you know, a little bit, so you can work on that too. But it's an amazing start, as well as what I really liked is automatically stored in the app that comes with it.
Yes.
Is a video of every single swing you take with an overlaid
auto tracer
based on the numbers, and it's really darn accurate. So that just becomes cool and fun, right? I mean, it's fun to share your tracer shots and share them on social and whatever, but you can share it with your coach. It's really easy to export it, and you can actually look at the swing and associate it with the numbers. So you can look at it and say, what did I do here different than what I did there?
Right.
And then you can say, okay, and that makes it thing. This bee here.
290 episodes. I think it's the first one we're gonna get stung by a bee on.
I think so. This bee is just trying to get into this beer. Yeah. But so I thought that was an incredible thing. I'm sure we'll test out more launch monitors as more come out. There's always a big pop around January when you have the PGA show and all of a sudden people launch a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just thinking, like, look at us. Here we are, two average golfers, the average golfer's budget, right? And you think between the two devices, we're working out there with a $499 Rapsodo, which we could have split between the two of us.
Correct.
Right? Then we each got a shot scope on our arm, $159.
Right.
And we can go back and basically see every single shot in the shot scope.
Everything.
Our ball flight launch angles with the Rapsodo. It's like things, like I said, that only pros could have done just a few years ago.
Right. And it's all these little things. Is the result of why I'm seeing the improvement I'm seeing in places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you say,
takes a lot of guessing out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I know a lot of you are probably sitting there saying, guys, that's all great and good, but like, what am I going to do with those numbers? I'm an 18 handicap. I don't need to see smash factor. I don't really care how far my ball goes. I'm just trying to keep the ball in play and not lose golf balls. I get that. But it's these little things that you can pull out of these devices that can go such a long way. And I always talk about how in shot scope, I was seeing where I was missing. I mean, that's an obvious thing. I know where I miss because I'm the one who's missing. Yeah. But I get to see all the other things around it. And now this is just a new little piece that can help me. And I'm just going to take all this into the winter. I'm going to go inside as much as I can this winter and just come out of it, hopefully for next season, just be a completely different player.
If you're asking my advice of saying, let's say take your example of an 18 handicap or something like that and saying, where can I use that device to improve? One big area I would say, again, learn from the pros. Learn from what they do. You're not going to do it at their level, but take a play out of their playbook, right? They know their yardages. They have them hammered in. They've got them hammered in down to like probably a half yard. But and I've seen this too. You see like Dustin Johnson, well, they'll call out a number, hit it 175.
Right.
And they'll have the trackman and he'll hit it like 176. Yeah. Right. But where a lot of us, we introduce this variance that causes inconsistency is that we're not consistent. We think of numbers like how far we could hit our 7-iron when we hit it completely pure, but we don't know generally how far we hit our 7-iron. Well, two things. You can look at your shot scope or whatever other shot tracking data you're using, a wearable, and you can look, well, what are my average numbers? But then you could take something like this out to the course, and here's focus practice. Focus just on saying, feeling the numbers. Put a number in your head, 166. You know, you could set this Rapsodo to closest to the pin and stuff like that. You can set it to 166 and then just hit balls and try to get that feel. Right. What's it feel like to hit it 166? What club do you need? And it actually has a vocal thing, which I like.
Yeah, that's
right.
Cool.
After you hit it, it'll call out your number. It'll be like 167. Yeah. You know what I mean? So being able to do that to me is that type of practice that's going to get you better and you can be able to do it. Now, I'm a believer of being able to do this at all budgets. I think if you're saying to me, yeah, guys, it sounds great, but I can't afford a $499 device, there's still other ways to do it. I think you can do it just going to the range and picking out different flags or whatever that have measured distances and just working on hitting them and maybe even try it with different clubs. Can you get a 7-iron there, whatever,
right,
and get the feel? But I think getting the feel for your distances is something that can help any golfer.
Oh,
because when you go out, I had it today so many times, I'm like, I just didn't feel it. Like, I didn't feel that comfort level, be like, okay, this is a 165 shot. And I'm just like, I'd rather have a club be like, I know how to hit a 165 shot because I did it on the range all day yesterday.
Yeah,
or something.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? I think I might just like lend this thing to you for a while just to try it with your chipping, because the hardest thing sitting around the green is saying to yourself, like, all right, I want the pin is 45 yards for me. I see it runs downhill. So I want to hit this thing up there and land it about 28 to 30 yards and let it run.
Right.
So you got to have the right feel and you got to have a good, strong chipping game in order to put it there.
We didn't get a test to test that. Does this thing do those numbers?
It does.
It really does. It does. Chipping even.
It does. So it'll pick it up. I mean, it picked it up for me on the range and I tried it. So, I mean, maybe it's something you could do just to try to figure out how it feels to hit a 30, how it feels to hit a 40 and a 50 and a 60. You know, build the feel.
I love it. And speaking of which, you gave me a great tip while we were out there, and I think we'll talk about that really quick. I was noticing when you lack confidence, oftentimes what happens is you decelerate, or a less confident shot is usually a shot that's not, you don't just work your way through it, mm-hmm. at least in my experience. So I was noticing a lot of my chips were coming up very short. And I told Mike, I'm like, Mike, man, I got no confidence right now. I'm just not feeling it. I don't feel the short game. I feel like I lost my feel. And what you said is exactly right. You'd be like, dude, you know what? Hit a couple long. Cause I'm like, I'm so worried about pushing it past the pin and then maybe pushing it off the green. He's like, what's the worst case? You push it off you almost have to feel your boundaries. Like, what is too much in the other direction? So what you said was right. And I after that, I never hit one short. I hit a couple of them long, but at least I started to feel those boundaries. So yeah. I like that tip.
Well, good. I'm glad. And definitely keep using it, because for me, my quick fix for that problem of chunking or coming up short on those short chip, greenside chip shots, I thought I needed more of a less lofted club. So I would go back to the bag, and at the time when I was playing with a 56, I'd hit the 56, or now with the 52. And that was the wrong thing to do, because I was just using the wrong club. I was sculling it. I was pushing it past the green. And I'm like, you know what? Why didn't I just trust that 60? I always used that thing greenside.
Yeah.
I just had no confidence in it. But now, you know, in the backyard practicing it and hitting a longer ball, I mean, you're going to develop that feel.
Yeah.
You know, it's right club, right feel.
And I'm such a huge proponent of using the same club to chip with, especially when you're starting out and new, or when you're going through a slump and chip in any type of thing like that. Just add one point of consistency. Why not take out one variable? And I totally threw my own advice out the window, unfortunately, today. There was one shot I just thought I needed to land it a little bit softer, and I tried to chip with my 60. I love to chip with my 52. So it added another element to an already struggling part of my game, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, let's go back. And I always think when things are going wrong, simplify. And if chipping or something like that is going wrong, especially with chipping, chip with one club. And then once you feel like you've got that down, maybe then start to introduce other variables like other clubs. And this is something that we talked about with Andy a little bit too. But I like that tip. It's a tip that's worked for me before. So figured it's best to share it and maybe it helps one of you guys.
I hope it works for us, you know?
Yeah, I hope so too. So a lot of great stuff again today.
Great stuff. Great course. Had a lot of fun.
I would say if you're in this area, this would be a course to check out for the number one selling point, I think, would be the value. The prices here were just incredible.
I saw prices on the board like 30, 40 bucks for the round with the cart.
And I like courses like this for the reason of practice, like getting out and practicing. Sometimes I feel like one of the inhibitors of practicing is it being expensive. And if it's an expensive round, you feel like it's not practice and it's like, it's got more weight behind it. But when it's a less expensive course, it's a little bit more affordable. You feel like, it's, you know, 35 bucks. I can go out. I'm just going to get a round of practice in. So I think this is great for that. So High Point is a terrific course for that, for sure.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And just to add to that, because there are courses that are going to come in and they're going to be those cool, fun courses that are on the calendar that they're going to be expensive. You've been waiting a long time. I mean, we have Hudson National coming up.
Yep.
With Kevin Sprecher in like a week or so, and that's like a bucket list course. So I want to get the game in tune for some of those bigger challenge courses.
No doubt.
Maybe a Baltus roll, maybe something else before the season ends. So we don't know. So get the practice in here. A nice, like I said, inexpensive, and it's not like a dog track. It's a great course. It's a lot of fun. It challenges your game, like we said. Lots of layups, forced layups, forced carries, lots of water. I mean, it's all here.
Yeah. Conditions, I would say, it's probably like your average muni. Yeah. One thing I would like to see. I would love to see the greens rolling a little bit truer. We found some were fast, some were slow.
Yep.
Some people might get a little bit frustrated with layouts if you don't like blind shots.
And if you don't like dog legs,
some people I do see that they're not huge fans of that. But again, I always say step outside your comfort zone, play something different. Even if you don't like a course with a lot of dog legs or a lot of water, find one, play one, try it. That's what this had. I mean, how about, what was it, 16?
16 water carry, par 4.
Wild looking
come on.
Hole. Yeah, it sure is. I mean, we got some drone footage of that I can't wait to share. But it was a fun round.
It was fun. Sure. And if we can hang our hat on one thing each, I'm going to say it was you with the putting, like you said. I'm glad to see that. And for me, Mikey's got a little draw in his golf game now, right?
He does.
So, you know, the ball, my shot shape, I've been working hard on the Spreck effect, getting the rotation through the ball, because I was not rotating and I was hitting the club open face, pushing him right, slicing through the ball. Irons are now starting to get better ball strike on them. They're getting a higher launch and they're starting to get that draw. And today, with all those dog legs left, it was perfect.
It was, and you were getting a lot more distance, I noticed, from your draw.
Yep.
So it's good. It's good to be able to hit another shot shape. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So, two huge thanks. One huge thanks to everyone here at High Point who hosted us today. Like I said, it's a course I hadn't been to before, and really enjoyed it. And also thanks to Rapsodo for sending these devices to us. It's something that wasn't even really on my radar before.
Right.
Funny radar, right? But anyway. I thought it was a cool launch monitor. I thought it was a sign of the times of what's coming for tech. And I'm going to have fun giving it away. So keep an eye on Golficity, the app, our YouTube channel, social channels, because we're going to announce that giveaway really soon.
Yeah, it should be a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that.
So stay tuned for that. I think we're going to finish this beer, hang out here, enjoy the weather for a few more minutes before we head out.
I like that idea.
Dissect the round maybe a little bit more, and we'll see everybody again next week.